Ksuvos Perek Yud Mishnah Hey 10:5, and more about how we settle competing claims for a ksuba to be paid out to multiple women. First part of a Mishnah is actually old news. It says Mishahaya Nasi Arba Nashim. If a man had been married to four different women, Vimeis, and that man dies, Harishono Kademis Lashnia. The claim of the first wife, meaning first chronologically, she has the first dated ksuba, so her claim is kodemish lishnia, meaning her claim to be paid out, her lien on his real assets, proceeds, is senior to the second woman. Ushnia lishlisha, same goes for the second woman. Chronologically, her ksuba claim is senior to the third woman. Ushlisha is the revius, the third is senior to the fourth. So that means that if there's not enough money to go around, it's divvied out in order of seniority. First, the first wife gets paid out in full, then the second wife gets paid out in full, then the third in full, and finally the fourth in full. Now, the next part of the Mishnah says, wait a second. What happens if there isn't necessarily enough to be paid out? So we're going to say that under various situations, certain scenarios, a woman who's not getting paid out in full can demand that the woman immediately senior to her take a shvua and swear that she is entitled to what she's taking, because this makes all the difference, the woman who's forcing the shvua, because if the woman immediately senior to her gets paid, then there's not enough for her to get paid, whereas if she admits that she's not entitled to take what she's taking, that would directly end up leaving more assets to end up into this junior woman's pocket. So you'll recall that under normal circumstances, when women are claiming from the heirs, they have to take a shvua. They're entitled to their piece, and they weren't paid ahead of time anyways. But there are certain scenarios in which such a shvua would not be required. Okay, so there's different shitas exactly, and they show them what those scenarios might be. Certainly, Rashi learns that it only applies to yasom who are minors. Others learn even adults, but there could be a scenario where, let's say, for example, there were no children, let's say, or the father agreed to waive any requirements to take such a shvua. Whatever the case is, the point of our Mishnah is, in a scenario where the women are not forced by the courts to take a shvua prior to collecting their ksuba, if there's not enough money to go around, the woman immediately junior to her, who's not going to get a full payout, can force the woman immediately senior to her to take a shvua before collecting. And the point is that the shvua makes all the difference again, because although we don't usually make people can't just force other people to take shvuas. To take a shvua, an oath in court, is heavy duty, and we don't want people to take false oaths. Certainly, that's one of the severe of errors in the Torah. But the point is, if a woman's going to lose out immediately by not getting paid, she can force the woman who's taking what otherwise would have been hers to take a shvua first. And that's what the Mishnah says over here. It says, Harishona Nishbis Lishnia. The first woman, if, let's say there are four women, we'll call them, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. So woman one can be forced to swear to woman two prior to woman one collecting her ksuba. So the idea is something like this. Let's say all four women in this scenario have a ksuba. Their payout is 200 zuz. Let's say that there's every field in town is worth exactly 200 zuz. Let's say that this husband, who's now died, had just one field, to keep things simple. So he only has one field that would pay just one ksuba. If that's the case, so by woman one collecting on her ksuba, getting her field, that means woman two gets nothing. The point of her mission, therefore, is that woman two can force her to take a shvua, if she hasn't already taken a shvua for some other reason, before collecting, because that's all the defense a poor woman two can have, and failing that, you know, if woman two makes her shvua, then woman two gets nothing. Since woman 3 and 4 are simply like not relevant to the equation here, they're not getting paid anyways, so they could not force woman 1 to make a shvua. Okay, now, if the scenario is something like they had one field, woman 1 was going to take it, woman 2 forced to take a shvua, woman 1 makes the shvua and collects her field, now woman 2 is left with nothing. But if then, sort of like, you know, miraculously another field is discovered that was owned by the husband, so now like the process can repeat itself, whereby now the third woman can force the second wife to take a shvua before the second wife collects that second field. So that's what it says here. Ushnia lishlishis, and same goes ushlishis the revius. Same goes, while if there were just the woman, the fourth woman could never force the third woman to take any shvuas, but if they found, after the second woman collected, they found another field, And that's now headed to the third woman. So again, the same kind of situation plays out, where the fourth woman can force the third woman to take a shvuah before she takes her third field. V'haravias nifrash lo b'shvuah. In contrast, the fourth woman, if she's getting paid out, even if that exhausts the entire estate, she can now get paid out without having to take a shvuah to anybody. This assumes, of course, that there are no yisomim who are claiming to get a shvuah given to, and there's also no other creditors. If there be, besides for the fourth woman, there'd be, let's say, a junior lender, some other creditor who like has an IOU out, so then he could force her to take a shvuah before she collects, because again, same idea, by her taking what's not hers, that would leave him with nothing. But if there's no such person, the point here is that the fourth woman, since there's nobody else who's getting messed up by her collecting, can't be forced to take a shvuah. She takes it, and she takes the stuff that's available to her to satisfy her ksuba without making any shvuah. Now, Ben-Nanas is going to disagree, and Ben-Nanas's reason for disagreeing is not immediately evident. Ben-Nanas holds that in a scenario where a person gets paid out on their obligation, a creditor, or in this case, a ksuba holder, once they're paid out, so then the fact that they were junior to someone else's claim doesn't make a difference. So just for example, let's say the four women get four fields, and then it turns out that one of the four fields actually didn't belong to the husband after all. Let's say he stole it, okay? So now, let's say that was, you know, woman number two ended up with that field. So according to Ben-Nanas, woman number two has no recourse. She can't go to woman number three or four and say, listen, my claim is senior to yours, my ksuba predates yours, the field you got really belongs to me. Ben-Nanas says, no, you cannot do that. Once they've gotten it, they've gotten it. And since they had a legitimate claim, they had a ksuba also, you cannot take it from their hands once they've taken possession. That being the case, in a scenario where, and this is the way that the Bartner learns, like Rashi, a scenario where it's known that there's something fishy going on here, and one of the first three women are getting a field which, you know, may end up being snatched away from them, because it's known that the husband did steal a field, we just don't know which field it was, let's say. So then those women can say, listen, before woman number four gets her field, she needs to take a shvuah that she wasn't paid on ahead of time. Because why? Because once she gets her field, she won't have to give it up later on. And if it turns out, let's say that woman number two has her field that she received as payment for a ksuba, if that gets stripped away from her, because let's say, for example, it wasn't her husband's after all, he stole it, let's say, so now woman number two will have no recourse to anybody because the other fields have been already given away. Therefore, before we give it away to woman number four, and same as three and two, everyone, they have to take shvuahs, or woman four has to take a shvuah. Even woman four, who has no one who's a junior to her, has to take a shvuah to make sure she doesn't get it, because once she gets it, we can't take it away from her. That's Ben-Nanas' opinion. That's what he says here. Ben-Nanas Omer, v'chi mipnei shehi achrona niskara. Doesn't make sense that just because she is the last one, the most junior creditor to the state, she should profit and be able to like luck out by getting a field without having to swear about it, because then she could keep it forever, right? Afhi lo sipara ela b'shvua, says Ben-Nanas, even she cannot collect her field as payment of her ksuba without first taking a shvua that she is entitled to without having been paid ahead of time, because once she gets it, the other woman, like say woman two in my example before, can never reclaim it from her. The Chacham disagree with that Tanakama. The Tanakama says, listen, if woman number two's ksuba predates woman number four, which it does by definition, so then woman number two has a senior claim and a senior lien and can always strip that field away. So even though we gave the field to woman number four thinking everything was A-okay, but if it turns out that woman number two's field wasn't hers, so therefore her claim has not been settled, woman number two can then go to woman number four, or three for that matter, and say, listen, the field you have is not really yours, it's mine because my claim was seen at yours. So since that's the case, there's no need, says the Tanakhama, to make woman number four take a shvur. Whereas Ben-Nanas, who says that it can be stripped from her later on, cannot be stripped from her later on, requires her to take a shvur now. Now, Mishnah continues on, like a new paragraph. Hayu yotzos kulan biyomecha. If it turns out that all four of the women in our Mishnah, let's say, were all married on the same day, so then, assuming that the time of day at which each one got married is also listed in their ksuba, so then even though the day is the same, kol ha-kodemes l'chaverta afilu sha'achas zachsa. Whoever's got the earlier date or I should say earlier time, on the same date, on her ksuba, she is the one who has senior claim relative to her co-wife, who has a later time on her ksuba, and therefore that's the order. She'll be a senior, she'll have a senior claim, and she gets paid out first. And it's really for that very reason that in Jerusalem, the custom was that when they wrote a ksuba, they didn't just write such and such a day, like we do nowadays, but also said such and such a time. So we can actually have a time stamp to know whose claim is senior to whose, if there are multiple creditors claiming a contract dated on the same date. Okay. Hayakulin yotos b'shachas. Now, if there wasn't any date put on it at all, any time put on it at all, just a date, or if they all had the same time on the same date, so therefore, you know, no one's seen it to anybody else, could happen. Either could happen because they were just lazy, or could happen because they engineered it as such. You know, the husband could say, you know, at the strike of, you know, 157, you all will be, you know, married to me, or whatever it is, or when I jump up and down, you'll be married to me, whatever the situation is. So then he could engineer it to take effect at the same time for all of them. So then, ve'ein sham ela mana, if there's not enough money to go around, there's just 100, let's say, and the 100 is used as an example because every ksuba is at least 100, which means all four of the women who have the same date on their and time as all the other women, so they all have equal claim to that same 100, and since it's just 100 that's available and all their ksubas must necessarily be at least 100, that's the minimum ksuba possible, so therefore they're all asking for all of it, so we don't have to come into the problems of like the previous Mishnah with the competing claims of different amounts. So therefore, since they're all asking for it, it's like the first case of the previous Mishnah, they all want all of it, so therefore the din is Cholkos b'shave, they all divide it equally. So in the example we have here, if there's just 100 to go around, there are four women, all with ksubas of the same date on it, or even the same time for that matter, so then that 100 is divided equally four ways, every woman getting 25.